T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
When your friends were throwing the spitter,
yeah,
what substance were your friends, definitely your friends and not you, using?
You don't want to use a foreign substance.
No.
So KY jelly made right here in the United States is probably the best thing you can use.
Yeah, I gotta go.
Steve Stone.
That one's going to be on highlight reels all year long.
Cy Young Award winner.
Look at Carlton Fisk in the sign. He hit the spot with it and strikes out Dave Parker.
Steve Stone is the first American League pitcher since Denny McLain to pitch 3 hitless innings for the American League.
Chicago White Sox television analyst.
They've been trying to keep a lot of pitches away from Jose Abreu tonight. I'm thinking this is a really good matchup. Let's see if he gets careless with one.
It is gone! How good of a matchup!
You like Elotes?
Oh, that's my middle name.
Steve Stone.
Subscribe for free, which is always good.
Why do you send me up for these things? All that happens is we become talk radio drop-ins again. We're hot buttons on talk radio. Chris Tannehill loves it more than anything in the world.
Steve Stone with McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
We love the opportunity to talk to Steve Stone on the McNeil and Parkins show almost every week throughout baseball season. We have to share him with our other Score colleagues. He joins us now on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. Stoney, as we watch the broadcast, and thank you for joining us, it seems like Jason Benetti is hyper aware of your guys' ability to become talk radio fodder. Are you aware of the same phenomenon?
No, I am not. But Jason does it for both of us. You know, he's got so much brain power to do so many things that I just sit back. I marvel at what his abilities are. And that's one of them. He knows exactly what's going to play, what's not going to play. But what I like about him is the obvious. I think he has a chance to be this generation's Bob Costas. There's literally nothing he can't do. It's a pleasure to work with him on a daily basis. He tells the stories of the players and the managers and the coaches, so he frees me up to just do analysis, to figure out why things are happening, when they're going to happen, how they're going to happen. And together, I think the team is really meshing. We've been together for a while. I don't think, and this is just a testament to both of us together as one entity. I'm not sure we ever did better television than we're doing now. And it has a lot to do with the team. I mean, the team is more consequential. So with that in mind, every game has situations that you can evaluate and analyze. If the team is losing 10-2, the drama's out of the game. To really in-depth analysis and cover everything you need to cover, not quite as much. But this year, this team is competitive, and it's a learning process, but they're getting much better.
Stoney, I admit fully I am projecting here, but is working with a kid who could be your son in age, has that perked you up a little bit? Has that lifted your enthusiasm some?
No, because he's been that young since we started working together, Mac. So it's not a startling revelation. But what is we have a product that up and down this order, you have guys to get excited about. The emergence of Luis Robert is something that excites both of us. Yoan Moncada finally establishing, like, he's one of the best players in baseball. You have to be excited about that. And I know the defensive problems of Eloy Jimenez sometimes creates some difficulty for the ball club, but he's a magnificent hitter. And understand something, if all of you out there are Sox fans or baseball fans that don't understand exactly the difference between why a guy should stay in the field and why he should be a DH, Sox have enough in the DH department. They have a vested interest in Aloy, who is a hardworking guy, getting better at defense. Right now, he's not too good at it, but it's not for lack of effort. Look, last night was number one, a bad play, and number two, an embarrassing play. And he has a lot of pride. He's going to get better. You're going to see adventures every now and then. But as a baseball team, the Chicago White Sox are a better team if Aloy is in left field as opposed to the designated hitter. They got enough of him.
I agree. I was talking with Mac and David Haw earlier, and I asked them the question, 2 years from now, is Eloy Jimenez primarily a left fielder or anywhere else? I said left field. They said anywhere else. Where does Steve Stone say?
I say no one can really predict who's going to come to this team, who's going to be here at that point. Again, the team is better with him in left field. Will they find a better option? I don't know. Get yourself a young Mike Trout. You got a better option. Then he moves to the DH. But you drafted Vaughn, and Vaughn is one of those guys that has a little bit of DH in him because he's got one position. They're trying a few different positions with him, but right now it's first base and probably DH. So you look at that. Then you got two really good catchers, and you're not going to be able to play them all the time unless one of them's a DH. And then you have Encarnacion, who's a DH. And so, again, I don't know what 2 years will bring. I do know that they're trying to bring this team together as a winning entity with Aloy in left field. And now the rest is up to him. I think he does have the skills. I don't think they're natural skills, but I think they can be taught. And we'll see if they can teach it to him.
Enlighten us as to how that process works, Stoney. I honestly don't know. I don't know what they can do in season to work with a guy. How does this look to you?
You work every day, Mac. You go out there and you chase fly balls and you move to your left and you move to your right and you come in and you catch the ball and then you work with his footwork. You work with his footwork and how to get in position, how to take routes. You let him play the ball off the bat and you do it. And you do it, and you do it some more. You do it until everyone is tired of doing it. But to make him the player that he can be, you have to continue to do it. You can't have any off days if you want to take the quantum leap that's going to make him a decent left fielder. There's a while to go yet. And I know they've worked on it, and I know Aloy has worked on it. But you keep on working at it until you finally get to the point where you realize that he can't do it. They're not at that point yet. If he wasn't more important to this team as a left fielder, he might be in the DH situation. And if they felt he couldn't play left field, they don't go out and get Encarnacion. He becomes a spare piece if Aloy's going to be the DH because Aloy can probably out-hit him right now. But they're a better team, again, if Encarnacion is healthy, ready to go. If on occasion you can catch McCann and DH with Grandal, that's a pretty good lineup that you have in there, and your catching position is well handled. But it all revolves around who's going to play left field on a daily basis. And right now, you don't have that guy in the minor leagues to come up and say, he can contribute in the major leagues today. He's exceptional. We're going to put him in left field, and we're going to make the switch. That guy is not here right now. He might be here, but not yet.
Stoney, give us a guy from your experience, either as a player or as a broadcaster, who struggled defensively terribly early on, but put in that work and got better at it and became not just serviceable, but a good defensive outfielder. Who is that guy?
Well, first of all, I don't think he has to be a good outfielder. If you're talking about Aloy, I think he has to be serviceable. I think he has to be average. And I came up with a guy in the minor leagues. I played A-ball with a guy that you might remember. Think back to 1977 for the Cincinnati Reds in left field. George Foster was the guy's name. George Foster in the minor leagues couldn't field at all. He couldn't throw. He took six steps to deliver the baseball, and yet he went up and was part of a wonderful Cincinnati Reds team as a left fielder. He was a guy who got considerably better. The history of baseball is loaded with guys like that. Right off the top of my head, I can't tell you any others right now, but, you know, it's tough to go from a hazard to yourself to really good, but if you can swing the bat, you don't have to go to really good. You have to be acceptable. You have to be adequate. Aloy can be both of those.
We're talking to White Sox color analyst Steve Stone here on the Mac and Parkins Show on The Score. The Sox have obviously been bit by the injury bug, and with starting pitching depth in particular, How much would you be willing to mortgage of the future when the trade deadline comes around to go out and get a rental starting pitcher, given what we know are the oddities of this season?
Can you tell me where they're going to be when the trade deadline comes up? Because if you can tell me where they're going to be, I can answer your question. And
let's say a playoff team.
Well, I will answer it pretty easily. You didn't build up a backlog of top-of-the-line prospects to trade them away in a season like this. It's obvious who teams will come to you for. They're going to want the cream of the crop of your young players. And the Sox took a long time. They took 3+ years to get this kind of talent in their system by trades and development and a number of other things. You know, you're looking right now at evaluating this team. So let's take a look at this team. The double play combination is gone. Tim Anderson is not there. Nick Madrigal is not there. When you lose your entire double play combination, who are going to hit first and ninth for you, that's a loss. Then you put Encarnacion in there. That's a loss. Mazzara has not had a chance to come back and be the force he's going to be because he's just coming back now and he keeps on getting hit in the foot. So this team is not quite together yet. When this team starts to play together, I think the last thing you want to do as an organization is go out and get that rental guy. I'm not sure who that is, and if you can get a pitcher for a couple years down the road, you might think about it. But Dane Dunning, in my estimation, is going to be a major league pitcher, although coming back from Tommy John, his arm's just not strong enough right now. We've seen how many pitchers have gone down because their arms can't support a good solid slider and a good solid curveball. We don't want that to happen to Dane Dunning. We have some, Stever's another possibility. We have some possibilities, but right now, nothing solid. So I'm not thinking they're going to do a great deal of mortgaging of the future to try to get there this year, because I think they can get there this year without that guy. And also, when you talk about adding an established starting pitcher, you're talking about adding a 4-5. Okay, that 4-5 doesn't throw in the playoffs. That 4-5, almost without exception, is moved into your bullpen, because your top three, and right now, let's call your top three Giolito, Keuchel, and Cease. Let's say that Cease is the pitcher that we saw the last time out as opposed to the first time. So your top three are going to make the determination of how far you go in the playoffs, because with a good top three, you can take out the Yankees. And if you take out the Yankees, you're in pretty good shape. To mortgage your future to get a 4-5, that doesn't make any sense to me, and I'm pretty sure it doesn't make any sense to Rick Hahn.
Cease goes tonight against the Indians. What was the difference for him this the second time out against the Royals? What did he do better that you liked?
Well, Mac, he threw first pitch strikes and he commanded the strike zone. I don't think he's going to consistently be a pitcher who works down. I think he's going to have to work up with everything, and that's okay. But command of the strike zone, throwing strike one, making a defensive at bat was the biggest turnaround from the two ball games. It also it also helped that he was able to get the breaking ball over the plate. I think that's one of the big things with all pitchers, certainly with him. But when you've got 98, 99 in your pocket with the life that he has, and you're just starting your career, I mean, this is a real young guy just coming up now in the middle of a major league rotation. The sky's the limit as far as his ability, but don't think that he's going to come in and he's going to be Max Scherzer right now. He's going to go through the learning process. He's going to have his ups and downs. I know everybody would like him to be a guy that goes out there and gives you a solid six every time out, but right now I'm not sure he has a backlog of success to be able to do that. I love watching him grow, and I think we're going to watch him grow on a day-to-day basis. I'm excited to see him go out there this evening. Cleveland is without Terry Francona. Make no mistake, Cleveland without Terry Francona is an advantage for our ball club, because Francona's, if not the best manager in baseball, he's probably in the top two or three. His non-presence in that dugout is a factor. Now, Cleveland has magnificent pitching. They hit yesterday, but they haven't hit as a team this year. This is a really entertaining series. I'm looking forward to it. And Sunday is the premier matchup. You're getting Bieber and Giolito going head-to-head. That one is worth the price of admission, if there actually was an admission.
Right, right, exactly. It's better. It's free for all of us. We get to watch you and Jason Benetti call the action. Actually, and the in-between game I was curious about, because our guest coming up here in about 15 minutes is Zach Plesac, who had the 11 strikeouts in 8 innings against the White Sox in his first go-around this season. I'm curious what you thought of him and, you know, if you were interviewing him, what you'd want to know about the young pitcher.
I'd want to say, exactly what did the Indian organization do to you to get you to take that next step? You know, I watched the Indians, and you've got Clevinger there. He was an acquisition from the Angels. But the other four you have there, four or five guys, they pretty much are cut out of the same mold. They're all around 6'2", give or take. They're all right-handed. They all throw about 93, 94, maybe up a little bit. Clevinger throws a little bit harder. But the Indians have a system that I think is brilliant. I think they have a development system that's outstanding, and I've been marveling at it, and that's what I'd want to know from Zach Plesac. First of all, when I say it's magnificent, they have pitchers, guys. They don't have throwers. They have guys with very smooth deliveries that can throw to a spot. They're not overwhelming, but they are accomplished. When you see Savali throw, when you see Plesac throw, when you see Bieber throw, they're different guys, obviously, but they're very similar. One of the things they do is emphasize keeping the weight over the back foot. Don't open up too soon. Don't overthrow the ball. I know that's not fashionable now. I know drive line is made fashionable, max effort on every pitch. And for Trevor Bauer, who's throwing 50% four-seam fastballs, yeah, that works. For the most average pitcher in the game, the guy that wants to hang around for a few years, you got to learn how to pitch, and the Indians do it well. The system does it. Carl Willis does it. Terry Francona encourages it, and watch their guys work. You're almost watching four or five guys work as one. It's outstanding. It's beautiful to watch, and a lot of teams could benefit from figuring out exactly what they do. I think I got a pretty good idea what they do, and, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they react. So that's what I would ask Zach Plesac. I would ask him, when they got to him, when they drafted him, is he different today than he was when he was drafted into the Indians? And what did they tell him to get them there? That's what I would ask him.
We'll have that conversation with Zach Plesac, who is the starter Saturday for the Indians against the White Sox, coming up in just a couple of minutes. Last thing from me, Stoney, back to the White Sox and their pitching staff. We know the back end of the bullpen with Bummer and Colome is very good, and overall the results have been spectacular. But whether it's the playoffs and starters going shorter and you need more relief pitchers, or just the weirdness of this season and the White Sox lack of starting pitching depth because of injury, you're going to need a lot of relief pitching arms. Do you think, and every team has a problem with bullpen depth, do you think the White Sox have enough bullpen depth for what this season is going to require?
Well, if it was 162, I would tell you now, probably not. 60 games, yeah, I think they do. And one of the things that they're going to entertain, I'm pretty sure of this, is, you know, if your arm isn't quite strong enough to be a starting pitcher, even if you've been a starting pitcher in the past, now's the time to come up here and learn how to be a bullpensman, because what each team is going to need, and Milwaukee has that, they've got two or three guys that are starting pitchers that can go long in relief. And I think that's what one of the things that the Sox are missing, is a guy that can come in, go longer in relief because he's been a starter. He can't be a starter now for whatever reason. You can fill in the blank. But he's going to help save the rest of your back-end bullpen. Every team, Danny, has your winning bullpen and your bullpen when you're behind in the game. You got to figure out who's who, when to use them, and don't overuse some of the guys that are not part of your bullpen when you're tied or ahead. If you use them more than others, you're probably going to come in second in the ballgame. And that's the feeling out process. This is still, you know, we're still real early. We haven't even played 2 weeks of games yet. We've played 13 of them. So it's still a figuring out process. Guys who have come into the organization, where they fit. But again, remember, your winning bullpen, your bullpen when the team is behind, they're different people. And you try to only use them in spots where they're useful to you. And when you get some guys that are forced into a winning bullpen rotation that are not quite ready to be there, that's when your team gets hurt.
White Sox broadcaster Steve Stone, he called Jason Benetti the Bob Costas of his generation, and I've known him going back to Syracuse. I've known Jason a long time. You're not wrong. I think he is the most talented, versatile play-by-play guy going in the sport. You guys have been an absolute joy to watch this season, and it's been our pleasure to talk to you, Stoney. We'll do it again soon. Thank you.
Thanks. I look forward to this series. Have a good show, boys.
Thanks, Stoney. Have a good weekend.
That's Steve Stone with us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Let's have that conversation with Zach Plesac. He had 11 strikeouts in 8 innings in his first time through against the White Sox, and that was like 12 days ago. So he gets another shot at it coming up on Saturday. We'll talk to him about the White Sox, the Indians' pitching infrastructure, and yes, the region next on The Score.
The McNeil and Parkin Show.
Today's our feel-good Fast Friday.
Afternoons on The Score.
Zach Plesac going to the mound for the Indians last year in 21 starts. He proved to be very effective. A winning record, an ERA below 4. As you can see, he's not a big strikeout pitcher.
Zach Robert Plesac hits the mound. He is a 12th round pick of the Indians just 4 years ago out of Ball State. Chirp, chirp. Oh, no. Strike three. Strike three. Strike three. Good tight breaking ball down and away and two gone. Strike three. There's a changeup for strike three. He got strike three. Plesac has struck out 7, including the side here in the fourth. Breaking ball snapped it off for strike three. 8 strikeouts for Plesac, building on a career high. Struck him out on 3 straight breaking balls. And Tim shatters his bat. 1 gone. 0-2 on Grandal. Strike three. 10 strikeouts, building on a career high for Plesac.
Plesac has just been brilliant.
3 balls, 2 strikes. That's strike three. Lahiri knew it. It was a fastball pumped in, and the 11th strikeout for Plesac. Chirp, chirp. Chirp, chirp.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
As we broadcast live from Mac's home in Dyer, Indiana, in his backyard, socially distanced, of course, we are proud and welcome on from Crown Point, Indiana. Crushed the White Sox, as you just heard. His first time out, 11 strikeouts in 8 innings of work. He's going against them again tomorrow. The Cleveland Indians, Zach Plesac with us on The Score by way of the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. Zach, thank you so much for the time. How are you doing today?
Hey, guys. What's up? I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
Big Z, thanks for being had. Good to have you on board. And chirp, chirp. Man, you've got your best stuff going against our White Sox, and that was a game they absolutely had to have when they played their 6th game of the year. Your best effort. That had all the makings in Game 6 of the regular season, given the oddness of this season. It felt like mid-September baseball as a fan. I don't know if you guys felt that way as performers.
Yeah, I mean, it's moving quick, you know, and we know how few games we have and how important each game is, you know. So it's sort of like every game we play now, especially in the division, is a playoff game. It's kind of how we're approaching it.
Is it weird, this whole situation?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely different. You know, it's like separating more in the locker rooms. You know, the clubhouses are spaced out. We have just a lot more room, you know, just to keep people away from each other. And there's different, you know, protocols we got to follow on the field and the dugouts and sitting in the bleachers during the games when we aren't pitching. So it's definitely, you know, some new things we got to get used to. But I think we've really done a great job of just like making that the new normal, you know, and making it just a part of what we got to do to get to where we want to at the end of the season. You know, it's just something we have to get done. So yeah, man, it's been crazy, but you know, so far we're rolling now. So it's a lot of fun.
Zach, where does that come from, that want to do this thing right? Is it from the management team on down, and how much conversations do you guys actually have on a regular basis about making sure you're doing all the things you're supposed to be doing right now to stay safe?
Yeah, the whole summer camp really was kind of like an intro to what we were going to need to be ready for during the season. So that whole that period of a few weeks, you know, 3 weeks we had to get ready for the season was also the 3 weeks we had to kind of get accustomed to the changes and the new things that are kind of happening. So, you know, meeting with just the whole team almost every other day, you know, Tito is laying out the guidelines that if we want to win a championship, you know, we got to do everything the right way, you know, and so that involves keeping everybody safe and making sure that, you know, we're doing what we can to be able to not only stay on the field, but, you know, just keep people safe altogether.
Zach, can you give us a good Terry Francona story? Because everyone says if he's not the best manager, he's the second or third best manager in baseball. If you were going to give us a story that would highlight why he's so effective, what story would you tell?
I would say last year in Anaheim, I was going on 8 innings scoreless, and I was kind of creeping up towards my pitch count. There was a point in the season where my innings were kind of being watched, just because from the year prior, I was only one full season out of after having Tommy John. So typical protocols for, you know, after one full season after you've had the surgery is you don't want to increase your innings by like 15%. So going into the Angels start, I knew if I threw 6 innings, it would be right at 15%. And I was just really trying to do that. I ended up going through 8 scoreless, and I'm past that limit already, you know. And Tito he calls me over to the side, and he said, "How you feel?" And I told him, "Great." And I told him I wanted the 9th inning, and he turned to the pitching coach, Carl, and Carl's getting the thumbs up. He's like, "Go get him, kid." He told me to go out there for the 9th as a rookie. Allowed me, you know, the freedom to kind of talk him into it, I guess, so to say, but, you know, put him in a spot where he was being a player's manager, you know, and just the level of respect I have for him is incredible, man. And, you know, I'm just blessed to be part of his team.
Well, what you guys are doing as a staff early on this baseball season, Zach, is absolutely absurd. Your earned run average as a team is 2.05. That's the tops in baseball. Your whip is the best in baseball at 0.87. Batting average against is the lowest in baseball. I mean, where does that come from? I mean, explain why the organization early on this season has been so strong with its pitching.
Yeah, I mean, there's still a lot of baseball left to be played. You know, we're just really taking it one day at a time. I think it started during this whole quarantine period, just making sure we were all on the same page with how, you know, we wanted to be built up as starting pitchers in particular to be ready for when this thing gets going on a quick turnaround. So just that constant communication during the quarantine and putting together a great, you know, structured routine that we can go into summer camp with to feel like we just have those 3 weeks to be ready for the season with our sharpest stuff. And I think we all did a great job on being, you know, consistent with what we wanted to go into summer camp with, man. You know, it's just like we kind of hit everything how we wrote it up, and, you know, so far it's working out for us.
Crown Point native and Cleveland Indians starting pitcher Zach Plesac is our guest. McNeil and Parkins on The Score. We had Steve Stone on, White Sox broadcaster, about 15 minutes ago, and we told him that you were coming on. And, you know, he said the thing that he would want to know is, what are the Indians organization's pitching philosophies? And I'm not asking you to give away, like, trade secrets, but in terms of pitching development, it seems like that is an organization that you are a part of that is, mm-hmm. if not the best, one of the best in baseball. What can you tell us about the Indians' organizational pitching structure when it comes to developing guys?
Yeah, I think it's just a level of respect we have, you know, with each other and how everyone's just on the same page. There's no feeling of, like, a distant idea coming from everything. It feels like everyone's on the same idea of what, you know, we want to do as a group. I think developmentally-wise, what's really helped guys, I think, transition into the next levels and be successful is being able to establish that fastball command on both sides of the plate and having that pitch. That's the number one thing. If you can command your fastball, you can open up different pitches for everything else. So, you know, I think, like, them ingraining to be able just to really command your fastball, and then you can sequence pitches off of that, you know, once you've established both sides of the plate. And really just building off of that is kind of been their philosophy, you know, just move well and execute the ball, you know, and to the pitch and to the spot you're trying to throw to.
How much emphasis is made on first pitch strike?
Yeah, I mean, as a pitcher, that's like what you go for. You know, that's the best thing you can do for yourself is get ahead in the count, get the hitter on his heels a little bit, and you're in attack mode. You know, so I think that's the most important pitch in baseball.
Do you feel fortunate that that's the organization that you were drafted to in terms of where you are at this point in your career so quickly?
No doubt. I mean, it's everything that has happened to me and, you know, the people and resources I've met and had along the way have helped me become and reach my fullest potential. And as a person and as a ball player, you know, I felt the level of care, you know, it's just people that actually care. And that goes a long way when you're trying to do something you're super passionate about, you know, to feel like people have your back. And it's just a really good group of guys you have, you know, in the whole organization, really, from front office down to players. So it's I feel blessed. And, you know, I believe in everything happens for a reason. So, you know, the shuffle happened when draft year was in 2016. And, you know, now look where we are now.
Hey, Zach, Uncle Rico time. I'll put a log on the fire. My guys love it when I do that. More than 40 years ago, I stood 40 feet or 60 feet away from Uncle Dan, your Uncle Dan, please, Zach. And, Uncle Dan threw hard, but he was a clean-cut dude. He got good grades. You're a badass out there, man. You got the body illustrations working, you got the facial hair growing, and you got a scowl on you, man. That obviously that is not something you picked up from the uncle.
No, I don't know, man. I definitely have my own identity, but I think just trying to be that, you know, be clean, you know, just make sure I'm representing Cleveland with the most high class, you know, and just making sure I'm going about my business as I would, as, you know, personally, just trying to be myself, not trying to be anything more. I like, you know, feeling good out there and, you know, just really having fun.
I know that you've probably been asked versions of this question countless times, but in terms of your family pedigree, do you think it makes it easier for you to handle the transition and pressures of professional athlete life because you were presumably around it more as a kid?
I mean, that's a good question. You know, I think it's for anybody, you know, when you're experiencing something like this, you know, you pursue a dream. It's just ecstatic every single day. You know, I think being younger and being around my uncles who, you know, played professional baseball, it always seemed attainable to me. You know, I always felt like this is what I was going to do, and I knew I was going to do it no matter what, because this is what you can do if you wanted to do it, you know, and I was able to see that, and being young and just seeing that, made it seem more attainable. So, I've definitely along the way had a bunch of questions and, you know, resources like my Uncle Dan and my Uncle Joe, and then, you know, they have been the most help for me along the way. So I say, yeah, it's definitely helped me get to where I am.
Well, go easy on the hometown boys tomorrow, all right? I mean, enough, yeah. Just blitzing through White Sox hitters, all right? I mean, they're down a little bit right now. They just taken a few lumps from the Brewers, so.
Okay.
when you strike out 11 White Sox, do you hear from your friends back in the day, like, you know, okay, we're happy for you, but maybe go easy on them? Do you hear from them?
Yeah, of course, man. I grew up a Sox fan my whole life, you know, and I had a dog. It was Australian Shepherd. She was black and white. Her name was Comiskey. So that's, you know, I grew up a Sox fan, and so, you know, it's funny every time I come back and play here to see my friends reach out and, you know, just have fun with me playing here.
And, you know, unfortunately, I mean, last time, I'm sure, you know, when you pitched against the Sox in your big league debut, I think it was last year, you probably had all kinds of family and friends in the ballpark. And now that you've been through it and can breathe a little bit, now it's all by your lonesome tomorrow. You're probably more than welcoming of it now that you've been through it a time or two.
Yeah, you know, it's every day for me is my first day in the big leagues, man. It's still a dream. I wake up and get chills, man. So it's just, you know, every single day I'm just being super present and just doing the best I can that day. You know, I'll go out tomorrow. It's going to feel like I was there last year, my first start. So, you know, I'm just ready to rock tomorrow.
Well, again, not asking you to give away trade secrets, but White Sox fans have been very excited about Luis Robert. When he steps into the box, what are you thinking about when you're going up against a guy like that?
Big-ass strike zone.
Yeah. Honestly, man, when a guy like that, you know, with some power gets in the lineup, you just want to make sure you're executing your pitches. You know, don't leave anything up over the plate, especially over the middle. So I say I'm just going to go in attack mode and keep a good mix of pitches and keep them off balance.
Listen, man, it was a pleasure to watch you last time, even if Sox fans weren't thrilled with the outcome. You're off to a great start this season, and continued good health and continued success. And thank you so much for making some time for the show, all right?
Hey, you got it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Zach. Have fun this weekend.
That's Zach Plesak, who had somewhere to go. Yeah, somewhere to go.
Put him on hold.
Don't you say goodbye? I mean, geez, he got out of there in an instant.
That one was on me.
That was on you, Phenom? Okay. Yeah. Thank you. You didn't hang up so quick? That's great. Zach Plesak from the Cleveland Indians. We're hanging out for the rest of the afternoon, just the mob assembling in Mac's backyard on the Score.
Dad, as you know, we've been swimming, and we've developed a dish for it. We both agree that getting our own pool is the only way to go. Now, before you respond, you must understand that your refusal would result in months and months of... Can we have a pool, Dad? 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 Can we have a pool, Dad?
I understand. Let us celebrate our new arrangement with the adding of chocolate to milk.
I gotta say, this is nice. Mackie Land's backyard. It's like the scene with Rodney Dangerfield in the pro shop in Caddyshack. Oh, give me six of those, three of those, half a dozen, one of those. He has at least one of everything. A deck, a bar, a gazebo, a hot tub, a pool, a lounge chair, a yard. It's just a green egg. What don't you have back here, Mac?
Oh, I don't have a putting green. I
but
suppose
you got a,
I could
you got
add
a country
one
club of, you could trespass true. On right walk, across the street.
Walk across the street, right? The number two green on the white side is right across the street. That's true, right? Exactly. And maybe that's why I don't have one.
Yeah.
Because putting is not my issue. But, yeah, thanks for being here. Thanks for making the drive today. I've had fun. Tanny's working on a real nice sunburn. Boy, the back of his neck is getting burned and pretty. That's a... That's an old song, Summer in the City. You know that one.
Yeah. I lathered up, though, pretty good song. With the sunscreen. This is just my natural...
That's your
I'm
natural
exposed,
hue?
My natural hues. Anytime I'm exposed to sunlight, this will happen rather quickly. So, but I'm all right. Don't worry about me.
You'll get back to pasty by tomorrow?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Nice. Return to your natural form. But, yeah, is the pool, is it worth it? Because I talk to people who have pools. They say... A lot of maintenance, very expensive. Some people say, absolutely best purchase I ever made. Is the pool worth it?
Yeah, I suppose.
Okay.
I never had one as a kid, so I always wanted one. And when I found the house in 05, I immediately thought, okay, I know when the backhoe is coming in. Let's get it in here in March and put a pool in here. And, you know, what do you do with a gazebo? I mean, I don't spend a lot of time dancing underneath it saying, you are 16 going on 17. So you put a hot tub underneath it because I have no other use for a gazebo. But, yeah, I would say the pool is worth it. I don't use it as much as I should.
Kids are out of the house, though.
Yeah, the kids, you know, when they got older, you know, they don't come around as often. Patrick doesn't even take that much of an interest in it. But I just bring Tanny's daughter, Juliana. She hasn't gotten out of the pool hardly, other than when she was having a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or three. But
get her a king crab leg. I mean, come on, she's got to upgrade the eats. But yeah, she's gotten in the pool and she's just stayed there.
And I think the reason Tanny's neck is so red is his whole body is red from blowing up the French fry raft. That took a lot of oxygen out of the boy's lungs.
I didn't even watch it happen. Did you do that?
Yeah, the haters and doubters, they said it couldn't be done. But I asked Daniel if he had an electric pump, you know, because you figure he's got everything here. No electric pump here at the Mac residence. So not everything here at Parkinson.
I guess we're not coming back.
I know, yeah. But, you know, got to be a good dad. So you couldn't let her down. Once she saw that thing, she had to blow it up. So daddy took care of it for her.
That's, you've done a great job. But I noticed, like, she's mostly swimming underneath it.
Well, yeah, because if she gets on it and drifts off into the deep end, then...
Oh, then we got problems.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Okay, so the purpose of the raft is to go underneath. There's no pond, though, to keep the Caddyshack analogy going.
Again, you got to walk across the street.
Oh, my bad.
There is one on the other side of the tee box on that par three. Some tremendous bluegill are in there, too, by the way, if you ever want to go bluegill fishing. I wouldn't recommend eating them because of all the fertilizer that blows in off of the golf course, but they're fun to catch.
Yeah, I prefer your scallions and crab legs than any sort of
scallions. Scallions?
What did I call scallions? Oh, yeah. No, scallions.
He's had three sips of a beer, and he's calling scallops scallions.
It's more of an onion than a fish. All right,
it's more of an onion than a mollusk.
Are you satisfied with your scallop?
Yeah, I thought they came out good.
They're
today.
Awesome, yeah.
They
no,
looked
I,
better.
I
too.
Thought the ones at Scorehouse were great, but he
well,
was.
Well, this is the redemption tour of the scallop.
That's
2020
right.
Is what all I've
absolutely,
heard.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, so you're satisfied.
I have not had a crab leg yet, though. You when I usually right cook and host, I don't bother to eat.
I don't like that.
I had a couple of scallops, and I had, I think, two coconut shrimp. And that's all, and one piece of cheese from the Mitch Rosen cheese platter he brought by. Because
you got a haw to have a little crab leg on his
yeah,
way out. How
he,
about that?
He went crazy, didn't he?
Dump that, don't let anyone know. Yeah.
Let his hair down a little bit. Had a crab leg before dinner.
Yeah, he was like, it's a weird time. It's between meals. I don't know what I can do. What I'm alive. Man, relax.
Have an effing crab leg. Yeah.
That's all quarantine shows have been for me, though. Is every commercial break, all right, what's in the pantry? Did something magically appear since the last commercial break? Oh, there's a Hershey's bar. I guess I'll have one of those.
You're down a lot of weight, though. That surprises me.
I feel like I eat everything. I feel like...
Are you just working out? Are you marathon training again? Is this anxiety?
Well, marathon got canceled, so not doing that. No, I just...
Boy, there's a load off.
Yeah.
So I was way behind on my training.
Mac can't tell his joke this year. I don't know what we're going to do come October, first week of October. Ice Cube joke's not going to write itself this time.
So you're eating a lot and just losing weight.
I think I'm just snacking more and eating less meals, probably. Mm. If that makes any sense whatsoever.
You look like O9 Chef.
Eating less.
Give it a try. Who knows?
All right. Well, listen, you look I was going to say fit, but I don't know. You
frail is what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Frail, fit. Yeah. Somewhere in between.
Yeah, frail. And frail works. Strong wind and knocking. He's looking like you.
Give me a cheeseburger.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got Phil Jackson shoulders out of nowhere appearing. You're all bony.
Little shoulder press action. Get in the pool. You could do.
Dude, that's what I've noticed having a child does.
Yeah.
Like, it's because you're constantly, you play with your daughter, I'm sure you play with Owen. And it's, all right, yep, lift her up. All of a sudden, it's like, man. Backstore.
Yeah. Yeah. Get a little.
Like there's a muscle there. When was the last time that happened?
Is that a bicep? I'm gonna put that away. Don't want to endanger someone lifting this 16-pound child around.
Military pressed in 15 years. What the hell's going on?
No Cubs game tonight because the Cardinals got some COVID. Hawks game starts at 5:45. We're hanging out in the backyard at Mackeyland on the Score.
Fantastic show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.